Yo, and here we go with episode 97.2. We talk comics, and I'm Mo, introducing myself with my best monster truck announcer voice. Mo, this Sunday, coming to an arena near you. Tickets only $3. What do you guys think? You guys introduce yourselves in your best monster truck announcer voices.
Sunday. We will sell you the whole seat, but you will only need 2/3 of the seat. Because the back third of the seat has beer spilled on it. You don't want to sit there. This is Keith. Cup Reporter K. Keith. Christopher, go ahead.
Monday. There was traffic on the interstate. Couldn't get here in time.
I guess it's supposed to be Saturday. You'll only use 10% of the seat because 90% of you will be standing on your feet. Something like that, isn't it? Anyways, it doesn't matter. It's We Talk Comics 97.2. This episode titled Blah, Blah, Blah. Yes, we're not back to our regular format yet. If you were following us on, at the time of recording this, we still haven't heard from iTunes about our new feed, though it's in the process. It should happen pretty quickly here. So hopefully people will be able to get this and find us again with the new feed for this one. The old one is gone. The Podomatic, if you got us there, is gone. We are back to our site, continuing to refine it. It's really getting close now. I'm getting excited. I'm really happy with it. Can't tell you how many hours I've put into this sucker because I'm not an IT guy and don't know what the heck I'm doing. But everybody's helping me a lot, so that's good. How about you guys? What's up with you guys?
I finished Batman class today and tonight, my 4-week self-defense class. I believe I am now trained up to be one of the lesser Robins. I'm probably at original Stephanie Jason Brown. Todd. I think I'm at original Jason Todd level.
So you could beat spoiler is what you're saying.
I could, yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
I could take Chris? Him or her, whoever spoiled it.
I don't really have a lot going on right now. I'm not sure whether my mood's being affected by the freaking cold weather up here in Canada or how much I'm not enjoying Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I was so freaking excited about this show, and it's not doing it for me, man. I'm 9 episodes in, and nothing. There's no comic book references. Nick Fury showed up once, and it was sort of lame. I thought we'd like be delving in the mythology of the Marvel Universe, or at least get some Joss Whedon goodness. And we haven't had any of that. I'm really unhappy with the show.
It really
is affecting my entire life.
It really feels like a Joss Whedon. It feels like someone wanting to write like Joss Whedon. Like it's really
that's
like
exactly
like trying to be really cutesy to like an uncomfortable level. There's no like none of the characters have any charisma aside from Coulson, of course. I mean, right now Marvel seems to be able to monetize any character you've ever heard of. I'm waiting for the Batroc the Leaper Netflix series to be announced.
would buy that.
And the Abomination direct to DVD. Like it at this point, like that's the problem is that they're going to have to go like D-list to use any characters from the comics because they can monetize anyone.
I think we've said this before that one of the things about them is they used up a lot of their A-list characters. And to be honest with you, even characters they put in films before are not necessarily like Blade had a successful run and a TV show and everything, but he's never been an A-list character. I mean, Marvel just, they're not deep that way. I think in some ways they're deeper from A-list villains than they are for A-list heroes. Right.
Yeah. And I mean, one of the challenges is that the contracts or that Fox has are X-Men and related. So anyone that's even sort of related to the X-Men is off the table. And that removes a ridiculous amount of characters, really, when it comes down to it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're really only left with these kind of weird characters that could be considered Avengers related. So we got the oddness of Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch, who are going to be in both an Avengers and an X-Men movie. Because they're technically they technically fit with both teams. But
which one do you think of them first? If you had to categorize them, guys, where would you categorize them? Avengers or X-Men?
They were first heroes in the Avengers. That's how they're known. So definitely Avengers. Their first appearance was villains in the X-Men, but they're not known as villains. I definitely think Avengers all the way.
And I think probably Scarlet Witch I think of Avengers, but Quicksilver, because of his time in X-Factor, I don't associate him with the Avengers at all because he was in X-Factor for so long.
Yeah, but sure, you know, me and you, Red X-Factor, nobody else has.
No, I think there's a good point there, actually. Scarlet Witch, Avengers, Quicksilver, X-Men. I think you can think that way, but then again, they're so tied in together. I think of them in Avengers. Maybe it's because they were in things like Ultimates, but I think it's because the first time I ever read those characters was in Avengers. I read them. The first comic book I picked up that had those two characters in it was Avengers, so that's where the first comic book I picked up had been X-Men, I'd probably think of them that way.
I would have first encountered both of them in the X-Men.
Of course, mind you, I don't think of Iceman as a defender. So, which is, I think
he's a champion all the way.
I think of him as a champion first. Yeah,
champion.
I'm the same as Chris there. Yeah,
yeah, angel definitely. As well. Defender. That's where I first saw him.
Hell, you know what? That's a hell of a Marvel franchise. We should get the champions down, man. All those characters rock.
I'm waiting for Marvel to really be able to monetize the Team America. I'm also really disappointed with the original Team America.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Was clip artist.
God, I love that movie.
I'm also really I don't know how to quite put how I feel about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's I think I'm disappointed that it's just not better. Like, it's not awful. It doesn't even kind of go out of its way to be terrible. It's just not great.
Like, that is the worst when something is middle. You can't even get emotional about it one way or another. It's like if you could hate something, at least you got that to hold on to.
I mean, at least they could throw in like some bizarre Marvel characters like the Human Fly or Moon Knight or something. Just to have some connection with the comic books. But we got nothing.
This is the first time I've ever heard of... I know Moon Knight's somewhat obscure. I mean, he was in like Ultimate Avengers and stuff like that, video games, but I never thought of him as being on the same level as the Human Fly. Like, that's really...
Human Fly was a real person, so I'm pretty sure they don't have the rights to him.
Yeah.
I think the Human Fly probably has rights.
Was he a real person?
He was a real person. He was a stuntman, yeah.
Did he wear that costume? Red and white? Really?
He did, yeah. He did.
What about the guys? Remember
from YouTube search for after the podcast?
Pause the show while Chris does some stuff on YouTube.
What about those guys? They were twins and they were fly characters that were in the Spider-Man cartoon from the 60s. Remember those guys?
Oh.
Were they called the Human Flies?
I don't remember. I remember. Didn't they commit crimes and you could never catch them because they would trade off and...
They were trade off and they were twins, and then they were also they had like a total blue uniform, but they could also scale walls like Spider-Man, and there's two of them, and I love those guys. I don't know if they ever showed up in the comic books. A whole ton of characters that never showed up in the comic book that were in that series, especially later on as they just started reusing characters from, you know, what was it, Rocket Robin Hood or whatever.
Yeah. What's the
color? There's a property that's gone unused.
For a reason.
What's the name?
No, could you imagine a live action Rocket Robin?
No.
Man, I'm there opening weekend.
Now it's all I can imagine. Dream casting, who would play Rocket Robin Hood? And who would play
Kevin Costner? We used the Kevin Costner and Morgan Freeman return, only this time in space.
As Rocket Robin Hood and Will Scarlet. This time, Will Scarlet will not be Robin Hood's secret half brother, which ruined that whole film for me.
That ruined the film for you. That's what ruined the film.
That's what put it over the. Yeah, that's what. That's why it tipped the scales the wrong way for me. Was Christian Slater, secret half-brother of Robin Hood.
That was what all... then it was just the awful everything else.
Yeah, it was.
Then when that happened.
I mean, it was Alan Rickman eating, like, chewing up scenery like it was going to business.
And... I love that, actually, the part where they're doing the sword fight and he turns and kisses the girl. The villain does it instead of the hero. Because that was just so Alan Rickman in that movie. Just that just, you know.
Alan Rickman's awesome. Continues to be awesome. Oh, who would I want as Rocket Robin Hood? It kind of...
I can't believe we're seriously having this.
It kind of seems like a Jeremy Renner vehicle.
Oh, you know who I think is going to be in it? Is what's his name that was in Green Lantern there?
Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds is Rocket Robin Hood. I'm sorry.
Oh, that would suck.
Every once in a while, there's an actor that just, like, it becomes the go-to dream casting or rumor actor. Idris Elba is the new one. He's rumored like every second movie you hear about Idris Elba. But I even heard he was up for Bond. And
well, I'm currently on Google Images so I can look up these characters. I can't remember what a damn one of them looks like.
Well, I don't remember that either. But you're not gonna go.
You know what? Rocket Robin Hood looks almost exactly like Superman. He's got the black hair, a little Jerry curl. You realize this is likely to be the is that Little John? No, that's
it's a classic.
That's Rocket Robin Hood. He's got the black hair, little curl. That's going to be this show's picture. You realize?
Oh, and you know what?
Actually,
do it live action, but the backgrounds all reused still frames.
Oh, of course. They also have here the picture from Hercules. You know, the one with Pip. By the way, in case you didn't realize, he was also Superman. Black hair, little square jaw, little cherry curl.
We talked about that show before. There's always been something that bugged me about that show. Why didn't you just leave the damn ring on all the time?
I thought he only had power for an hour.
No, you're thinking of Hour Man.
Oh, then why would you take it off?
It was never clear to me why he would ever take it. But I mean,
there was a whole bunch of the stuff in that show that didn't make a lot of sense.
Well, and when he put it on, he had to run up a hill.
Yeah,
I remember
right,
that. He always had to run up a hill. Oh no, he ran up the hill and then he reached behind his belt, put on the ring, lightning bolt, ready for action.
My favorite villain though was the one with the metal bucket on his head that was magic and made him invulnerable.
That'd be Daedalus.
Daedalus?
Daedalus, I believe.
Daedalus. Great name too then. Daedalus. If I ever have a kid, I'm naming him Daedalus.
Pip was the best character on the show, man. The little...
Pip was annoying little.
No. Pip was the one that didn't.
Oh, that's Toot.
Toot.
Toot's the one who was really annoying. Actually, no, Pip was annoying. That one? That's the one you're talking about?
Yeah.
I like Toot. Okay, the little one that just whistled. Okay, I liked him.
Yeah, Toot was all right.
Toot, he had the pan flute, right?
Yeah.
Well,
what were the other villains? We had Daedalus?
I wasn't positive there was a second villain. It was.
They had Icarus.
Well, there was the one who was, the one who was...
The slide.
I mean, the one who was the actual sorcerer, not with the metal thing on his head.
I thought those were both Daedalus, though. I thought the...
No, that was a different guy, wasn't it?
Wasn't the Iron Mask just one of the storylines? This is the weirdest episode.
I thought there was one when they tried to...
Just read in a couple.
Oh, and you had the chick, the sorceress chick.
Wasn't Medusa one of the villains, though?
I don't think she was Medusa. She could have had a similar name. Yes. She didn't have snake for hair.
He has 52 episodes of Rocket Robin Hood.
Holy crap. On a stick.
It must be like,
of course, Chris goes, yeah, duh.
He did like 8 different storylines for that many.
Well, I mean, you needed to have that much of a run
the
so
Mighty
Ralph Bakshi could finish off the Spider-Man run.
Did you ever hear this story that they literally had to steal animation cells from the company?
Yep.
To finish. it's such a wacky story.
Okay, I'm sorry. Villains. Let me...
You still care about that?
You found...
That's all I care about now.
The animated series.
Daedalus, an evil wizard who was the chief villain. sometimes accompanied by his pet cat, as well as Wilhelmine, the sea witch.
Yeah, that was the one I'm thinking of.
Accompanied by her pet bird, Evira. And here's the one I was talking about. Myrtus, a.k.a. the Mask of Vulcan, who is invulnerable due to wearing an iron helmet, which actually looked like a bucket, known as the Mask of Vulcan.
Mask of Vulcan. Well, all right, then. Every day you learn something new, and I thought I was going to make it through this one without learning something.
Oh, this is obviously the most important thing you will learn.
I'm going to need this probably tomorrow. I had a funny occurrence at work where someone said they were quoting Einstein, and they said you don't remember anything you can look up. And I was relating this story to someone a day later, and ironically forgot who told me the story, which is the one piece of information in the situation that I couldn't look up.
Oh my! Perfect. Hey, speaking of cartoons, though, I can come up with something here. Can get you guys. There's on Netflix, there's this cartoon, Astonishing X-Men. Never seen it. Another one, Thor and Loki Blood Brothers. Are either one of you two familiar with either one of these? And the reason I bring them up is not because they're on Netflix and I want to know whether or not I want to watch them. I generally tend to stay to the DC animation on there, but because both of them are listed TVMA. Which I'm wondering, is that a screw-up? Is that, you know, are either one of you familiar with this?
Yeah, I am. They're both motion comics.
Okay.
And they're listed TVMA because they went under, they picked them up after the Black Panther, which aired on television. And was TVMA. They are mature, but they are just motion comics.
Okay, so they're not... They could. You're saying they probably should be TV-14.
Yeah, probably. I mean, they're recognizable series. I mean, I'm sure you've read this on.
Because like Game of Thrones is TVMA. You know what I mean? It's like, you know.
There's a lot of violence. I feel confident with the TVMA.
Okay. All right. Were they any good? Well, those, I think you and I once bought a DVD of those. At a video game store, actually, and watched them. We're actually pretty impressed by those back in the day.
They've got a whole lot more advanced. These are the ones Neil Adams was doing.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, they've really upped their game on those motion comics.
So, in other words,
I find
what you're saying,
Thor Loki one is quite good.
What you're saying is these are the ones that Neil Adams did. So you're saying that. They're quite good, and if you mispronounce their name, they're going to ream you out about it.
Quite probably.
Right, Keith?
And God help you if you ask him a question he's been asked before. so these were all based on Marvel Knights. That's why they be TVMA. My cat is so freaking out, and I don't know why.
Late.
Yeah, it is late, and she... Well, she's old, so she's taken to announcing after she uses her litter box. I don't really know why.
I'm not supposed to do that too?
Yeah, I know you always did. Like that wasn't
after my litter box. I mean, if I use the toilet, no. But the litter box, you have to admit, for a human adult.
You didn't so much announce it as, I mean, you'd walk out of the washroom and say "Booyah!" and then
"Booyah!"
So I mean, it was sort of like, you, I mean, we knew what you were doing.
Well, of course.
But it's not like. I mean, we could look at it later on Tumblr if need be.
If we're not supposed to announce that kind of stuff, why do they give me access to the PA at work?
I just picture when you're having one of those tours at work across the PA. That's when. One of the school kids tours at work at the TV station.
Awesome. Just come on. Scary freaking just, little kids.
Just come on the PA. Yellow alert cleared. Yellow alert cleared.
So I'm going to try and steer this sucker back on course here.
Code Brown. Cole Brown.
No, I was gonna go there, and I thought no, that would be too much. Well, but luckily,
back in your DC days,
All right.
There's a comic I've never read, but I just came across on a list of like most hated comics. So I'm hoping that one of you guys has read it and can tell me something about it. It's James Robinson's Justice League of America, Cry for Justice. It came out right after Final Crisis.
Yeah, I remember that.
I actually liked it.
I liked it too, and I actually didn't realize it was hated. I remember at the time it was quite a big deal. I believe he took it over, and his idea, he was just a short storyline until was it the Meltzer took over and did a full series? Like his was just a fill-in run or something like that?
No. He was supposed to get – it was supposed to be
turned – Or maybe that was a Batman. League. He did a fill-in run on Batman before Grant Morrison took over, I think.
Yeah.
That was it. I'm getting them confused.
He had the Justice League, which was ramping up to take over for Justice League of America. And then plans changed and everything got screwed up. And he didn't know how to end his storyline. So the end of the first storyline of Cry for Justice sucks. It's a really good, I really like the first couple issues. And you have to have a high tolerance for some bizarre characters, because we have a talking ape that I'd never seen before in the Justice League in that run.
Not that you were complaining.
As well as the Blue Starman, which... Sorry?
Not that you were complaining. Any talking ape...
Oh, no, talking apes. I'm pro-talking ape. I'm just saying that you have to like, adjust for a talking ape. Plus, you got J2 in there. What is Captain Marvel Jr. be? CM2?
CM2. Yeah, because if he said his own name, then he would turn back into...
So you're dealing with a lot of, like, weird-ass characters. And you get to a point where, you know, it's Green Lantern and Green Arrow forming their own Justice League to be more proactive. Which really does bring back flashbacks from Justice League Task Force. So I can imagine a couple people just hating it on the principle.
Just yet another stealing from Forceworks.
Yes, and as most series do.
Was Forceworks supposed to be more proactive?
Yeah, that was the whole point. Was that they were not going to wait for the threats to happen. They were going to attack the threats before they happened.
See, I saw the cartoon.
They were going to fight them
before
there.
I read the comic book, so I'm like, I was jaded against the comic book even before I ever read it. So
I never made it past the pop up cover, which was so awesome.
It was awesome, and issue one was awesome. Issue two, it did. It was a great first issue, and then you've had those, right? Like, there's nothing more disappointing. You get that awesome first issue. You get to the second one and go, oh, it was good because the writers don't know how to write and they used every trick they know in that first issue. Like, can you guys think of any like that? Where it's like, man, the drop off after issue one was so extreme.
It happens so often on this show, actually, that I'll give a good review to something and then I get to the second issue and like, oh, that's where you're going with this? Really? Happens a lot with Dark Horse, actually. I've become not a giant fan of most of Dark Horse's stuff because I find that a ton of their stuff like starts strong and then you get to the Answer was the one that came up really recent, like the last few months. Like Dennis Hopeless, was it called The Answer? The one with the guy with the big question mark and the girl had to figure out the code and everything.
Was that Hopeless? I thought that was Omen.
Now I don't remember. But I think it was called The Answer. And then I read the second issue and it was just complete garbage.
Now, of course, I have to look it up.
Now we have to look at it. Well, it wouldn't be a good We Talk Comics podcast without looking some crap up on
which. Well, I've already looked up Rocket Robin Hood.
Oh, that's right.
You're right. It was The Answer with the not with the question mark, the exclamation point. That's where you were screwing me up.
Ah,
it was a giant I remember that now.
I've just opened Twitter here while we're talking, and a couple of weeks ago we had our friend Scott Kowalczyk on. We were telling him how he's so the man to be working on.
Oh, and by the way, we're going to have him on a little more pretty soon.
Fantastic. And we were talking about he's just the perfect guy for Batman 66. I open up my Twitter here, and here's Jeff Parker, writer of Batman 66, talking to Scott Kowalczyk.
That'd be awesome.
Bonding. Hopefully they're bonding.
That would be fantastic. And then we can take credit.
Right now they're talking about range hoods for Stokes.
Can so we?
I don't know if that's quite as leading.
Can't imagine.
Scott will be back on. Scott will be on for the Secret Santa story exchange that's going to come up. Scott will be on for the Super Summit, the number two, the second annual Super Summit that will be coming up shortly. So we'll definitely be hearing from Kowalczyk again. Hopefully this time he won't be insane.
What a disappointment. If he's not insane, what's the point?
No, he'll be insane. He's Kowalczyk. We're some good stuff coming up though.
I was disappointed to learn this week that that Little Gotham is ending.
Yeah, I saw that in your tweet on our homepage, mm-hmm. where all of Keith's tweets can now be read. See what I did there?
Was there a freaking reason Little Gotham for Little Gotham? I thought that one was selling awesome.
I don't know. I don't know if they always intended it to be a short.
I don't get the feeling that their digital sale, the digital series, are based on sales so much. Mm-hmm. If so, I mean, would Injustice have ever ended?
Yeah, well, Injustice is restarting, not rebooting. It's starting a volume two here in the next little while.
And who knows? Maybe Little Gotham will do that too, or maybe they're just gonna move on from Little Gotham into Little something else with more characters. Different characters, or who knows?
I mean, I wondered how long they would run it, given that given that Damian's the main character of it, and he's been dead for a while.
Well, isn't he back in Son of the Bat? Or
yeah, it's like an alternate future story, though.
Yeah, he'll be back eventually. Anyways, we know it. What's going to happen is, like, 60 years from now, they'll bring him back, and everyone's going to be like, "Well, I remember when they did this with Bucky Barnes."
Everyone's going to be, he should have stayed dead. It was such a great story when they killed him. Remember that time we phoned in and killed a Robin? That was even better. Glad they didn't undo that one.
That's actually, Keith, they undid that one. Jason Todd, of course, back.
Did they?
They did. And of course, you didn't like that they brought him back. It's not so much the storyline you didn't like. You didn't like the idea of them bringing him back, right?
I didn't like that they brought him back, and it's to me the problem is that you then just have him, and I've never seen rarely do you see them bring a character like that back, and then you have something to do with them. Because, like, yes, Brubaker wrote a great story bringing Bucky Barnes back, and he wrote a great run on Winter Soldier, and now that character is just lying fallow because no one has the faintest idea what to do with this character. Mm-hmm. You brought him back basically as a plot device. In a sense, they're all plot devices, but you brought him back to tell one specific story, which was the story where you brought him back. And now what the hell do you do with them? Like, you're left with this character that had two great stories. One of them they died in.
Now, the reason I bring this up to you is because I'm curious. If they had brought him back, if they had not brought him back before they rebooted with the New 52 and brought him back there, would it have been okay then?
Oh, probably. I mean, I'm trying to think of anyone. They didn't do a lot of bringing.
No, they didn't. No,
dead in the New 52.
No,
I mean, there weren't a lot of dead characters at the time. Was part of that. Like, most of the main characters that had died, like, were just like had already returned by the time they did the reboot. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of
Blackest Night sort of revived everyone, didn't it?
Yeah, I don't think there was anyone left dead after Blackest Night. Even characters you'd never heard of. Like, I mean, they had to kill off characters just so they could bring them back to have fill out that book.
They did, yeah. Like John Johns, Martian Manhunter, and stuff like that. Yeah. Actually, how about this? I mean, what if they had brought back Barry Allen, had never brought him back and completed that storyline, just brought him back in the New 52? Would that have been okay? Do you think people would have been upset?
I think people would have been more upset, actually. Because at least at that point, they had transitioned him as the primary Flash for a while.
Mm-hmm.
To just kind of cold start a character like that. I'm kind of running through them in my head, trying to think of anyone that they made that change with. I mean, probably the closest is that Kid Flash is Bart Allen, and there's no Wally West anywhere. Is probably the that's probably the most significant change like that.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Yeah. Which people have, I don't think they bitch so much because people tend to like Bart. I think that they just want Wally.
Yeah.
It's more of that.
Yeah, and
they had a huge advantage actually with the Impulse already being the Kid Flash in that cartoon, Young Justice.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a precedent set there.
Well, he'd also been in the comics at one point too, and actual Flash in the comics and everything.
Yeah. Well, and we're likely to see Wally in about a little under a year's time.
Oh, cool.
The rumor it came out of one of the DC All Access videos that they showed Dan DiDio's whiteboard, and like they asked him for teasers and for spoilers. He's like, yeah, they're right there on the board. And they showed this quick, no pun intended, quick flash of the whiteboard, and Wally's name was on it, and so was sample logos for something called 5 years Later. So the rumor is that probably the big September event next year is some kind of flash forward event.
Oh, cool. Cool. Interesting. So that's the type of thing I want to read.
Really? They failed so miserably at those fast forwards. I've never had it connect up right. With the 52 taking Batman.
Well, I thought you just meant they're permanently going 5 years forward. You mean they're just going to give us a glimpse of 5 years forward?
Well, we don't know yet. It's a long way away, and I mean we're only halfway through.
Permanently go 5 years forward? That's far braver. I would love that. I mean, I think that's what they were actually supposed to do after Final Crisis, wasn't there? It was supposed to be a year later, but it didn't. Only a few series felt like that.
Yeah, well, that was the tag of after Final Crisis was it Final Crisis? No, it was.
Maybe it wasn't Final Crisis. What was it?
No, it was
52 Countdown there, that one, or?
It was after Infinite Crisis.
Yeah.
Because you ended up, Infinite Crisis ended with Superman was depowered.
That's right.
Batman was kind of shaken.
Yeah, yeah.
Wonder Woman was off doing something. So the concept of that was that they did a storyline called 1 Year Later, where all of the books jumped a year later. And in that year, the Trinity had not been around, so the book 52 took place essentially in real time as a weekly comic that filled in that gap of those 52 weeks and who was taking care of things when the Trinity was. So that was we're also hearing there's also rumors that there's going to be a at least one weekly comic from DC besides Eternal, Batman Eternal.
Why not? It seems like Marvel's doing 75 weekly books.
It does indeed. Yeah. It does indeed.
Superior come out more.
I don't know. I had a moment where when Venom was ending, and I thought, but didn't 18 or 20 issues come out this year? And it's like the year's not even over.
Yeah. Plus point ones.
Yeah, plus point one. super point ones.
And I hate it when people just sit there and they don't continue their numbering and just go to point ones and point twos.
Really
I
feels
find
like
very unprofessional.
Really feels like they phone in those point ones and point twos too. they come in, they're unprepared. They're just a filler.
All right, let's get to, I think, because we're not going to go too much later here. I just want to ask quickly, because I know you guys, we get previews for the podcast, and largely with the help of our sponsor, the greatest comic book website to ever pull its pants on? Is that, no?
To grace the net.
Thank you. To ever grace the net, Comicosity. Comicosity and everything. Anyways, we get previews, and I haven't looked at it because I've been spending 400 billion hours doing a shit ton. That's right. That's the only way to put it. A shit ton of work on the website. But you guys had a chance to read some of these? What'd you think of what was out there? Not full reviews, just kind of some basic thoughts.
I'd say the most pissed off I've been at a comic in a long time was reading what I thought would be the most innocuous and gentle read of my week. I'm speaking, of course, about IDW's Mr. Peabody and Sherman.
Way to take a huge crap on my childhood.
Well, you've got a whole film.
What the hell
coming.
Are you guys talking about?
You've got
about?
A film coming out in a month's time that's gonna do all sorts of terrible things to your childhood. this is a comic book tying in with the upcoming DreamWorks film of Mr. Peabody and Sherman, which was the cartoon. It was part of the Rocky and Bullwinkle show, and I thought, after long last, after 20 years of being bugged by the stupid Mayan calendar, that I was finally free of that stupid thing, and here, half the plot of this story revolves around the calendar, and him being snooty about how this ancient civilization was wrong about predicting the end of the world.
See, I didn't even find that part offensive. It was the secret origin of Sherman and Mr. Peabody that I found offensive. They were answering questions nobody asked. I was okay with a dog having a pet boy.
Yeah.
That needed no explanation, yet there's like 10 pages in this comic book where they explain how a dog gets a pet boy.
You know what? I remember the first time I ever saw that cartoon. I look at it and I go, the dog talks. I think a talking dog. They go, oh, wait, he has glasses on. He's smart. Why can't he talk? I was done. That was all the explanation I needed.
No. If you need backstory, this,
I don't.
This has...
You know, people complain about...
They killed off Brian on Family Guy, guys.
They did. Yeah, I think it's hilarious that... Okay, so I never watch... I basically never watch TV live. Most of the time it's because I watch it with my wife and she goes to bed early, so we tend to watch shows a day or two later. So it's always a bit of a dodge, like watching out for spoilers. Sunday has Boardwalk Empire, which was having its season finale.
Yeah.
It has Walking Dead.
Yeah.
And it has Homeland, which so that's like a giant landmine field of spoilers on Sunday evening and Monday morning. And I did not get a single spoiler from those shows. But I did have the ending of Family Guy ruined.
People at work are talking about it. I'm like, it's Brian from Family. Who cares?
Did not see it coming. And then I watched the show. I watched the show and yes, I knew what was coming. But at the same time, I had absolutely, like, they just didn't land a single bit of emotional connection with that story. It was like, he's dead. Okay.
That's, well, they're on, I believe, 97.114 at this point, if you're talking about phoning it in.
I actually will say that Family Guy has been having probably its best season in several years. I'm really liking it this season. Up until this episode, this is not the sampler episode.
I've never been able to come
better,
back to that show.
Much better.
The one where they were locked. What was it? Brian and Stewie were locked in a
bank vault.
Yeah. Since that episode, it's never really recovered for me.
Oh, you're such a prima donna. One instance of feces eating and you're out.
No, that part I was okay with.
Chris, did you have time to read...
How about the fact that it's... No, it's just it was a bad episode.
Chris,
it wasn't funny.
Did you have time to read Terminator Salvation?
Yes, I did.
Can you explain any of that book to me?
No, I can't. In fact, a favorite on the show is Joe Studzinski, who wrote this book. And
Chris, you know what? You got to stop making these statements. Like, a favorite on this show is Joe's.
It's a favorite writer of mine. I'm sorry.
Try that. Yeah. You got to stop making those blanket statements.
But I wonder if he actually did write it. It didn't make any sense. The only things I understood from the book were ripped off from the original Terminator movie. I don't understand why this was a Terminator Salvation book. Yeah, useless crap. Don't waste your money on that. In fact, the only book that we read that I thought would be worth your money was the Max Revisited or Max Maximized. And that's just an awesome book. But if you're just getting it to get the remastered editions, there's not a lot added here. I always thought Sam Keith's art was spectacular. So the going back and just redoing it doesn't do a hell of a lot. Read the Max, though, if you haven't. This is an opportunity to jump on the boat, because it's one of the best series ever.
Drop some acid and read the Max.
I am hoping that that it'll have enough monthly readers to keep it rolling, because I want to get it in trade. I've always wanted that series in trade, and I think IDW does such good editions, but it needs enough monthly people getting it to keep the train rolling, to get the whole series collected.
Don't actually drop acid, folks. I'm just saying it's a bit of an acid trip.
Well, you can watch. I mean, the first couple issues the cartoon stayed very close to those.
Yeah, that's true.
And it was funny, actually, because I've seen the cartoon since I read the comic, and it was difficult reading the comic and not thinking of those voices, the MTV cartoon. I'd put the Max as my pick of the week as well. Wasn't terribly keen on Never Ending from Dark Horse. Was one of the other ones in our pile, and the one that everyone, but apparently Chris and I loved, Black Science from Image, Rick Remender's new book.
I actually read this and thought, you know, I wish they had put this in Heavy Metal magazine, where I could have written it off without even picking it up. Beautiful art, but I thought the story was crap.
But it's one of those hot writers, so people will like it anyways.
I really enjoyed about half of it, and then it kind of just felt a bit samey. It felt like an epic, it should have been a shorter story in like Epic Illustrated or Heavy Metal. It is like, it's a good looking book, but it looked less good. Just as I kept reading it, it looked less good. And it got more wordy, and it's all from basically one character's point of view. So it's kind of insular that way. It's cooler stuff at the beginning than it is near the end. But it's the hot Image book of the week. So that's what I've been seeing on the Twitter, is that everyone's going mad for it. What I needed from Terminator, getting back to that one, is because there's been a TV show, there's been all the different movies, there's been like 18 different versions of the comic books. I actually just needed a little blurb at the, you know, like on the credits page that told me which version of Terminator this was supposed to be connected to and which ones I was supposed to ignore.
I just assumed it was connected to Salvation because of the title.
Well, and I don't, it doesn't quite fit with that either. Like, I'm one of the few that actually really likes Salvation, but it also felt like it was supposed to be tying into the TV show. Because the other characters in the story don't make a whole lot of sense to me.
I always thought that T1 and T2 and the TV show were all pretty much tied in. Because more hands-on, obviously from Cameron for the TV show, than Terminator 3 or Salvation. So I was kind of thought those were the ones where I went kind of jumped out of continuity, was my thinking.
I have never, ever since they stopped using the T-1000s, I've never understood anything that's going on. Like, after 2, I was like, okay, why don't we have the more advanced units? It didn't make any sense to me.
Well, I thought they said those were prototypes. I thought they said something like that, though.
More advanced units. Nothing in Terminator 2 makes anything else make sense, including Terminator 1. It's a beloved film that's basically a train wreck if you start analyzing it too much. It makes nothing that happens in the film makes any sense.
Makes a little more sense than the director's cut.
Not really. I mean, there is no adequate explanation of why they just didn't send all of the other Terminators, like, you know, send like a half dozen more Terminators back where the first one was. Like, once Reese is dead, why didn't like six more Terminators show up?
And well, the idea that they could send more than two Terminators is, that's where I understood that they could have one follow Reese.
Well, and the whole
two point, I could sort of understand.
The whole point of like Reese shows up naked, has to steal everything. Terminator shows up naked, has to steal everything. Terminator 2, the Terminator shows up naked because he has to steal everything. The whole the explained reason for that is only something organic can go through the time machine. And yeah. Then something that is 100% not organic goes through the time machine, but for some reason is naked. The T-1000 is not organic in any way, is not
coming from an organic
shell. But she shows up naked too for no reason.
That's a good point.
They just destroy the entire concept that they've built up for how this time machine works. And again, like, just nothing in that movie makes any sense at all.
When he's in his human form, maybe he mimics organic. I don't know.
But if that was the case, just put a whole bunch of like plasma rifles inside him. Like that's. Like, why not just have a bag full of plasma rifles wrapped in a piece of, wrapped in a hunky human skin?
Why does it even have to be human?
Well, because they said nothing but organic material can make it through.
Dogs and stuff still exist in the future.
A hollowed out elephant full of plasma rifles. Should have been in Terminator.
That I wish that had been this episode's title. And with that, I think we should wrap it up. All right, guys. Email us comics@wetalkpodcasts, and I'm Mo_wetalk. Missing co-host Brett is Brett Brett_wetalk. Mo, by the way, there's no E on my name, just Mo. And other than that, still working on it. Really close. Going to be a kick-ass website. I promise you. Then we're going to go redesign We Talk Wrestling. And then I'm going to sleep. Chris?
Chris_WeTalk. I'm always watching my feed, although I don't tweet a lot. But if you address me, I will return the tweet.
Oh, and Chris, maybe there's another the many, what was it, the many sins of Albert Pyun in you? Come on.
I'm sure there's one coming.
All right.
I'm sure there's one coming. I've been digesting Cyborg for over a year now. So
ooh.
I think I'm almost ready to deal with that mental trauma.
Nemesis 4.
A much better film than...
Wow! Than
a much, much better film. What?
I noticed that Mean Guns, his best film, is on Netflix. Someday when you're in town... Maybe when you get into town here for the holidays, we'll come together at my place and do a live audio commentary watching that one.
That would be fun.
Ice-T, Christopher Lambert. It must have been. I always thought that film, it couldn't have been his responsibility that it actually worked. I figured the cinematographer took over or something.
No. It's his work, man. He just, if you look at it, it is a direct ripoff of Highlander.
Yeah.
They just replace guns with swords. Guns. That is the entire plot of the movie, man.
But it's in a prison and nobody has powers.
Yeah, I think that was budget concerns.
Oh.
Do they have a tagline like there can only be a small group of us?
Man, I remember when the Highlander came out and you didn't think there was going to be a sequel? That was a powerful statement all in itself. And then Highlander 2 occurs.
Speaking of sequels that make no freaking sense.
And, oh, especially before the director's cut came out, it was even worse.
Oh, man, I did actually just recently rewatch Highlander on Blu-ray. It looks really, really pretty on Blu-ray.
Oh, I'm sure it does.
Yeah,
the Renegade cut made more sense than the original cut.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. I mean, the original cut for Highlander 2 you're talking? Oh, that... Yeah. There were aliens and stuff in that one there.
I had a horrible record for awful date movies, and Highlander 3 was a date movie.
Really? Yeah. Mario Van Peebles?
I do not believe I got a third date, or a second date.
It could have been Highlander 4, where they'd actually come back and stalk you.
Which one was it that had the dome or had the bubble around the Earth to save?
That was two.
No, that wasn't two.
Yeah,
that was two.
So they were like,
yeah, that was the cut where they were aliens.
Three is with Mario Van Peebles.
Yeah.
Let's get him. I need to look all this crap up after. No,
and the Highlander series is where they actually had what's his name from the movies show up. Christopher Lambert.
That was in the four.
Show. Yeah, and
or the crossover.
Paul Adrian showed up,
and very early on, one of the villains, Richard Mall from Night Court, playing one of the villains in Highlander on the TV show. I thought,
awesome.
That is fantastic work, right? Keith, what are your plugs so we can go OUT on this sucker?
You can follow me on Twitter at CubReporterK, and getting prepped for all of the fun of Christmas. I love me Christmas, and be decking my halls here on the weekend, and dig out my giant pile of Christmas comic books and Christmas specials and movies and all that sort of thing. So I'm getting excited, and we've got a lot of fun stuff planned over the next few weeks once we get back to numbering these episodes in a logical way.
Soon. All right, good stuff, guys. Like I say, we are OUT, and Brett, missed you on this one, buddy. Have fun editing this one, sucker.
Don't buy chocolate soda.
What? This exists? I must have.
Yes.
Some.
Superstore started selling chocolate soda. I bought a bottle. It sucked. I hated it. I went back the next day and bought another one for Christmas gifts.
I hope you bought one for me.
I didn't, but I will check it out. I'm willing to spend 75
cents
for you, man.
I must try.
I've been trying to think of Christmas gifts to give staff that I don't particularly care for. So now that I know.
Now you have that option of that and chocolate eggnog from Superstore. I'm seeing a pattern, actually, from these guys. We're going to throw chocolate on everything. Chocolate cheese, chocolate eggnog, chocolate soda.
Chocolate and blue cheese, worst thing in the world.
Oh, yeah. Good night, folks.
You too.